Hi, I'm Catherine Marr, President and CEO of NPR. Thank you for supporting WSHU. Your donations are the reason we can keep bringing you the trusted news and engaging stories you crave and the beautiful music you enjoy. Public radio thrives because of listeners like you, and your generosity allows us to continue delivering high-quality programming week in and week out. Thank you for making a difference and keeping public radio strong.
More than 56,000 people braved long lines to cast their ballots on Connecticut's first day of early voting yesterday. That's according to Secretary of the State Stephanie Thomas. She says despite the high turnout, there's still some confusion about the process, which she says is actually similar to voting in person on Election Day.
The only real difference is you also get an envelope. And after you vote, you put your ballot in that envelope, you seal it, you sign it, you put that envelope in the receptacle, and it's locked up until Election Day, and that's when it's opened and counted.
Early voting is available at town clerk offices from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. until November 3rd. Extended hours, that's 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., are available on Tuesday, October 29th, and Thursday, October 31st. You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from the Long Island Sound region. Connecticut will provide guidance to banks about helping those affected by severe flooding this summer. Some of New York's highest paid educators work in Long Island schools, according to a review by Newsday. Plus, SUNY ramps up efforts to get more folks to apply to college. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. The state of Connecticut says it's giving banks and other money lenders guidance on helping those affected by severe floods from August. WSHU's Davis Donovan reports.
Governor Ned Lamont says the state wants businesses and homeowners to have some relief while they wait on more federal funding. He says state officials will be working with banks to make sure that happens. That could include things like loan restructuring and fee accommodations, the state said. Lamont spoke in Seymour alongside presidents of local and regional banks and credit unions.
You really have a new sense of what community banking means. That means if you're having a hard time with a mortgage, you know, give them a call. They'll give you a little bit of extra relief, at least up until we can get the FEMA money and the SBA money coming your way.
Lamont says he thinks Congress will revisit the issue and authorize more money for both FEMA and the Small Business Administration by the end of November. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
And President Joe Biden has just signed a federal disaster declaration for Suffolk County due to damage from that same storm. It dumped 10 inches of rain along the North Shore, burst through dams, and flooded out parts of Smithtown and Brookhaven. The average cost of a prescription drug was nearly $600 last year, up more than $400 since 2017. U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal wants Congress to pass a bill to lower those prices. WSHU's Molly Ingram has more.
The Affordable Prescriptions for Patients Act would make it harder for drug companies to block generic, less expensive versions of their medication from coming on the market. That's according to Blumenthal, who co-sponsored the bill.
When a new drug applies for a patent, these companies throw a thicket of patent applications at the system, in effect to block competitors with lower prices. Consumers need and deserve choices for generics or biosimilars that have lower prices.
The Senate unanimously passed the legislation, and it's waiting for a vote in the House. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
Some of New York's highest paid educators work in Long Island schools. That's according to Newsday's annual compensation review. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio has more.
Almost 1,000 Long Island school employees earn $200,000 per year or more, and Newsday found 58 who earn over $300,000. Most of the highest paid positions are public school superintendents and teachers, along with administrators and professors in the state university system. In most contracts, school employees get paid out for unused vacation and sick time, a measure the teacher unions say is critical for recruitment, given the high cost of living on Long Island. The data does not include New York City. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
The candidates for New York One took part in an environmental forum, plus the state is making an effort to expand higher education options. Those stories and more are ahead.
Local support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare, the only health system in the Northeast with all its hospitals receiving A grades for safety from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent safety watchdog group. HartfordHealthcare.org.
Looking for a fun night out that'll challenge your brain and keep you entertained? Join WSHU for Wednesday night trivia at Two Roads Brewing Company in Stratford on October 23rd. Our reporters will be there to quiz you, and you might just walk away with some exclusive WSHU swag. Doors open at 4 p.m. For all the details, visit WSHU.org.
Crews are working to contain a massive brush fire in Berlin, Connecticut, that was first spotted around 5:45 yesterday evening. Officials say no evacuations are expected since the fire is uphill and about 400 to 500 yards away from the nearest neighborhood. Flagstar Bank plans to lay off nearly 2,000 people. The Long Island institution has more than 40 locations across Nassau and Suffolk counties. The Hicksville-based New York Community Bancorp bought Flagstar back in 2022. 70 majors at the University of Connecticut are in danger of being shut down due to lack of funding, according to the university's provost. They include majors in the agriculture, business, and education departments, and the programs have graduated less than 100 students over the last 5 years. Candidates for New York's 1st Congressional District took part in an environmental forum hosted by Long Island advocacy group Citizens Campaign for the Environment. John Avlon is the Democratic nominee. He says that with 1,000 miles of coastline on Long Island, climate change impacts everyone.
We need to make sure we are following through on the investments we made in the Inflation Reduction Act and the infrastructure bill to make sure that we're making sure these communities aren't flooding on a regular basis. I think we can add to that by adding things like making it tax deductible for primary homes, you know, family homes, small businesses, to make it tax deductible to make your property more resilient.
Avlon says both parties should work together to depolarize the issue of climate change. He's hoping to unseat freshman Congressman Nick LaLota. We touched on this story briefly yesterday. New York's state colleges and universities, and some private ones too, are waiving application fees right now through November 3rd. It's part of an effort to make college more accessible to New York families, but also to boost enrollment in higher education, which has been on the decline. Amy Fireisel has more.
Until November 3rd, the State University of New York is waiving up to 5 application fees per student to its 64 colleges and universities. SUNY Chancellor John King says the goal is to get students exploring their higher education options.
If you want a big school, we've got University of Buffalo with 30,000 students. If you want a small liberal arts college, we've got SUNY Geneseo. If you're passionate about the environment, we've got our Environmental Science and Forestry College in Syracuse.
King says they also want to get the message out about financial aid and the cost of state schools.
We find that when students begin the application process, that may be the first time they and their families realize that our tuition at our 4-year campuses is only $7,070 for the year. 52% of our students actually go tuition-free because of the federal Pell Grant program and the New York State Tuition Assistance Program.
Alongside the SUNY system and the City University of New York, over 50 private universities are also waiving their application fees in October. It's part of a nationwide trend to remove application barriers. That's in the face of declining enrollment in higher education, which King says the SUNY system has been grappling with.
Last year, we saw our first enrollment increase in a decade.
Since 2010, the number of students enrolling in college in the U.S. has been on a steady decline, about a 1.5% drop per year. Enrollment also took a hit when the U.S. Department of Education revamped the Free Application for Federal Student Aid, or FAFSA, last fall. Technical issues with the new form led to millions of students not being able to apply. That meant a huge delay in knowing whether they could afford to go to college. That had a big impact, says SUNY Chancellor King.
Nationally, there's no question that there were students who were negatively impacted In New York, we were down about 11% statewide in FAFSA completion.
King says the SUNY system made a lot of efforts this spring and summer to make up for the federal FAFSA challenges. That included paying current SUNY students to provide FAFSA guidance to high schoolers.
Although we think we were able to mitigate the impact for SUNY, we still worry about the students who may have missed out on knowing how much financial aid is out there for them.
In removing fees and through related in-person and virtual events to help students with their applications, King hopes to inspire high schoolers to apply who maybe wouldn't have.
To say, you know what, I'm going to apply to college. And so this could be the opening of a door. We want SUNY to be a path to upward mobility for New Yorkers all across the state.
Applications are free until November 3rd for SUNY schools. Applications at private universities are free until the end of October or have been waived year-round. Amy Feiereisel for the New York Public News Network.
For the latest news from the Long Island Sound region, you can listen on the radio, stream at WSHU.org, or download the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. And over at WSHU.org, we have answers to all of your questions about early voting, ballot measures, deadlines, where to vote, and so much more. There is also an interactive map that can tell you who the candidates are and what they stand for. The page is a work in progress and will be updated as we get closer to Election Day, so be sure to keep an eye on the guide. I'm Sabrina Garone. Enjoy the rest of your day. I'll speak to you tomorrow.